As we focus in on the level to which the political religious right exalts the current occupant of the Oval Office, we need to look at Pat Robertson and his media empire. Now, I know for many persons, Robertson turns up in rather amusing clips shared on the internet, but for millions of people, he is a trusted and omnipresent voice of authority. Today, Terry Heaton is a retired television executive and a prolific writer, and in the 1980s, he served as executive director of Robertson's 700 Club TV show. Terry's latest book is titled The Gospel of Self, How Jesus Joined the GOP, and I am delighted to welcome Terry Heaton to State of Belief Radio. Terry, welcome.
Well, I'm so happy to be here, really happy to be here, Weldon.
Well, Terry, our listeners are familiar with my history with the religious right, time spent in the leadership ranks of the Southern Baptist Convention and then leaving that organization during its hyper-partisan transformation from a religious focus to an electoral focus. Tell me about you.
Well, I was an experienced television magazine show producer when I was hired by the 700 Club in 1981. And at that time, the show was mostly a religious talk show, and they wanted to get into more of a magazine show production style. And so that's one of the things I brought to the table. I had just recently undergone a dramatic born-again experience. And so I was on fire for the Lord. I was, however, biblically a novice, and presented some problems, but I was able to overcome that by fierce study. And I did some of my best television work in Virginia Beach. We built the most state-of-the-art graphic system for television, which allowed us to do news very well. I introduced magazine-style electronic news gathering methodologies to the program, so we were able to do the stories that we needed to get done to pack that show with good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, one focus group we did where a guy said, after watching a series of programs, he said the program was progressively subjective. And that beautifully describes what we were trying to accomplish. We wanted a show that appeared to be, you know, unbiased and a news perspective, although we didn't really pretend to be unbiased. We were biased towards the Lord. That's what we thought. And so the show wasn't very, you know, religious at the very top, and that really appealed to our base, sure, especially in the early 80s. There was really a movement of the Holy Spirit underway, but I think efforts were made then to institutionalize that movement, and mm-hmm, this is what we got from it.
Terry, did you notice the movement from a religious orientation in Pat Robertson almost to a political orientation?
Well, of course, that was the whole point of the thing.
And he intended that all along then?
Oh, sure. He was Pat Robertson's a political animal who happens to be a preacher. So his whole frame of reference with regards to life in the United States is political. I mean, his father was a U.S. senator, and he grew up a Virginia aristocrat. So naturally, he would be, you know, biased towards the wealthy. And, you know, the wealthy were some of our biggest contributors, too. So it's no surprise that what we chose was the Republican Party, even though its platform is hardly the red words from the Bible.
Right. So when you all were planning shows and talking about guests and so forth, was there an overt description of the show as being political, or was that just to come in on the side?
I think it was just assumed. We believed, of course, that we were following the direction of God Almighty. And so I don't say that anything we did was insincere. We believed that we were doing the right thing, you know, that Jimmy Carter had basically destroyed the government and that we needed to get it back. And Ronald Reagan was our great hope. And so we supported Mr. Reagan and his policies. And there was certainly a concern that George Bush was not nearly the same as Ronald Reagan. And so we saw a crisis coming at the end of Reagan's second term. And that's why, you know, Pat just, I mean, he came back from the mountain one day and at a meeting told us that God had told him to run for president and that he was going to win. And, you know, that just seemed very natural to us because why not? Under the circumstances, why not? We were fully prepared for that, you know, but look where it's gotten us. That's the real tragedy of all of this is, you know, things haven't worked out or things have worked out to a point where I believe it certainly was not God and it was man, you know, and that's why I talk about the gospel of self. We preach the gospel built around the Bible as a self-help manual. You know, and that's what got us further and further down into error, in my judgment.
I was a pretty high up person in the Southern Baptist Convention at that time. I really think he was the instigator of the beginning of the turn toward politics in that convention. How influential did you see Robertson to be while you were there?
Oh, I think that he was the major influence. I mean, a lot of people will give credit to Jerry Falwell, but, you know, there's an old joke, it's in the book, that the devil, there are three people the devil didn't want in hell, and that was Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and Pat Robertson. He didn't want Billy Graham because Graham would get everybody saved. He didn't want Oral Roberts because Roberts would get everybody healed. And he didn't want Pat Robertson because Pat would raise the money for air conditioning. And so, you know, I mean, in 1984, Welton, we did $248 million in contributions. You know, now that's a huge amount of money, you know, and it's, you know, from in 1984 dollars, too. So they still raise a tremendous amount of money, and it's not that, but it's not too far away from that either. So Pat was very influential within Christianity.
Yeah.
Largely, I think, because he appealed to a, I hate to say this, but he appealed to a much more intellectual, well-heeled group. And, you know, you're not going to lead the masses without that support from the top. And so he was able to speak their language and reach out to them in a way that was both politically and spiritually rewarding. I mean, their blessing was of God. Their wealth, their place in culture was of God. And so, you know, that's pretty heady influence. And I think that Pat was right at the top.
I'm Welton Gaddy. My guest is Terry Heaton, a veteran of Pat Robertson's 700 Club and author of the book, The Gospel of Self, How Jesus Joined the GOP. What do you think we should be worrying about in the current political climate?
Wow. Well, I think that the message has to be to Trump supporters, and it cannot be an attacking, aren't you stupid, you know, framework. And so that's why I wrote, you know, that's one of the biggest reasons I wrote the book, is that book is for, is to challenge Christians. And, you know, I'm just starting a campaign to, you know, talk to churches and, you know, I don't know that, you know, I don't know that I, you know, am setting out to change the world, but I am setting out, you know, to change the people that I speak with. And, you know, that kind of grassroots level is what it's going to take. I think we are in deep trouble in this country, and that we've got to do something to change things. I think the division between us is it is favorable only to the people who are in charge, who want it to stay that way. And you know, and I think the web is as disruptive to the West as the printing press was in the 15th century. So I think we're going to see, you know, culture change dramatically. And we actually, I wrote a piece for the Huffington Post that I said that, you know, that that maybe let's frame a narrative that says that God did want Donald Trump as president. Mm-hmm. So what could he be telling us by that? And I'm not talking about a right-wing political message, you know. And so, you know, I'm not afraid. You know, that's one of the great things. That's one of the things I love about you, too, is that you're not afraid to talk to Christians about, you know, what is taking place in the world. And because I think, you know, instead of God's judgment being on America, I think it's a very good chance that God's judgment is on the church. And that I think people need to be warned of that because it doesn't, you know, spell good things for people downstream.
I want you to talk about that. You've written a number of compelling columns for the Huffington Post. The most recent one is headlined "Christianity's Hijacked Brand." How do you mean that?
Well, you know, Christian, the term, you can't say Christianity in the world today without it tweaking a certain response from people, which is based upon what they see and hear in the press. I think the press needs a profound education about Christianity and religion, because back when I was producing the 700 Club, they used the words of Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson in a pejorative understanding of evangelicalism that in part puts all of God's people on the defensive every time the word Christian is mentioned, because the brand of Christianity, I'm a marketer, so I'm not afraid to use marketing terms. I mean, that's what we did at the 700 Club. But the brand of Christianity has been hijacked by people who don't have the best interests of the faith in mind. It is a political organization, not a spiritual organization. And we need to get that straight, because we're walking down a path that we've never walked down before. I'm sending my book out to friends who are, you know, in churches, in the hopes that they will examine this, because, you know, I think a part of growing up is examining your own assumptions. And if the church isn't prepared to do that, then we're in really serious trouble.
Is there a way to reverse engineer the connections that you describe in your writing? And by that, I mean, is there a way to weaken these connections for all of our sake by understanding how they were formed in the first place?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think the idea that people have believed a lie is a very hard road to take. So I think that that message coming from anyone in any position of any authority isn't going to work. There has to be suggestions that are more at the granular level to help people come to the conclusion themselves that they have been listening to things that aren't necessarily good for them. And I really do think that that will come about. It's going to have to come through churches, and churches with leadership that isn't interested in building a castle, you know, like this guy from Dallas who tells Trump that it's okay to, you know, God wants him to bomb North Korea. What?
Through the lens of all of your experiences and relationships, what's the worst case scenario you can envision going forward?
Wow. Well, you know, that's hard for me to respond to, because I don't usually think that way. I'm much more the half full glass guy. I'm more utopian than dystopian. because I think we need to go through this. You know, my worst case scenario would be a lot more weeping and gnashing of teeth ahead. I believe that's inevitable. And until we get to a point where we can see that the best way to live is to live life on life's terms and not our own. And, you know, what is it going to take? I just assume that life is big enough to figure that out. And, you know, while I certainly think we can get in the way, I think that, you know, that's why I'm not so upset about Donald Trump being there, and why I wrote the piece that maybe God does have a plan here. But I guarantee you it's not what those people who hold the brand of Christianity now, the right-wing political types, are expressing.
Terry Heaton is a retired television executive who served as executive director of Robertson 700 Club TV show. Terry's latest book is titled The Gospel of Self, How Jesus Joined the GOP, and we'll link to his invaluable Huffington Post columns from stateofbelief.com. Terry, this is really dark stuff, but it's critically important to understand where we are and how we got here. And I am really grateful that you agreed to be with us today on State of Belief. I hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you very much. It's been great to see your smiling face and talk to you.